You open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to look at some of these ancient words, these 10 words. In fact, we're over the next 10 weeks, or actually 11 weeks counting this week, we're going to look at the 10 commandments. This is going to be my summer sermon series. The Hebrews just called them the 10 words because they were basic. They were foundational. And what we'll do is we'll look commandment by commandment, and we'll go through each one. And this morning, I just want to give us an overview and help us to understand why they're still relevant and why we still need the Ten Commandments. Let's read them together, beginning in verse 1 of Exodus chapter 20. "And God spoke all these words, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them to worship, or you shall not bow down to them, or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, neither your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or his maidservant, his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his word." Back about 20 years or so ago, a man by the name of Robert Fulghum published a little book entitled "Everything I Ever Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten." And he said it wasn't at the pinnacle of the graduate school mountain, but it was down in the sandbox in kindergarten that I really learned the things in life that I needed to know. And he listed 16 things that he learned in kindergarten that became foundational for his life. And he said that he felt like that if we would just kind of get these things down, they're still relevant to us today, and we would live a whole lot better life if we would work these things out. And so I just thought I might share them with you. 16 things that he learned in kindergarten that are foundational for life. Number one, share everything. That's pretty good. Number two, play fair. Number three, don't hit people. Number four, put things back where you found them. Number five, how many mothers have said that to your children? Amen. Number five, clean up your own mess. Number six, don't take things that aren't yours. Number seven, say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Number eight, wash your hands before you eat. Number nine, flush. Now see, if this had been a woman who wrote this, she would have said, "And put the toilet seat down." Just say. Number 10, warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Number 11, live a balanced life. Learn some and drink some and draw some and paint some and sing and dance and play and work every day some. Number 12, take a nap every afternoon. Yeah, now that's a good one right there. How did we get away from that? What happened here? All right. Number 13, when you go out into the world, watch out for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. Now, that's pretty profound if you think about that. Number 14, be aware of wonder. Remember the little seed in the styrofoam cup? The roots go down and the plant goes up and nobody really knows how or why, but we're all like that. Number 15, goldfish and hamsters and white mice and even the little seed in the styrofoam cup, they all die, and so do we. Number 16, and then remember this, the Dick and Jane books. Anybody here remember Dick and Jane? Remember the Dick and Jane books, and the first word that you learned, the biggest word of all, remember what that word was? Look. Look, look, look. 16 things that I learned in kindergarten that are foundational for life. Now, I don't know about if you learn everything you really need to know in kindergarten, but there is a truth there that there are some foundations laid very early in life. And what happens is we have a tendency to think that we move beyond those things. And so we don't have to remember not to take things that aren't ours, or we don't have to remember not to hit, or we don't really have to say we're sorry. And so what happens is we move off the foundation that was laid, and then life begins to get messed up. Life begins to be skewed. That's what happens to us in our life of faith or in our religious life. There are some foundational truths that are found in Scripture, and the Lord God has given them to us so that we might build a life that is right or true. And these foundational truths are found in this part of Scripture that we know of as the Ten Commandments or these ten words. In fact, just remembering where they came from, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were the first patriarchs. They were men of God. And by patriarchs, they were able to communicate directly with God. They didn't have to have law. They didn't have to have anything written down. They just talked to God. They had a question about what was right, what was wrong, or what they needed to do, or where they needed to go. They just talked with God. God came along and said, hey, I'm going this way. I want you to follow me. And so Abraham began to follow God, and that's the way it was. But then Jacob's family was taken down to Egypt. And there for 400 years they lived in Egypt, no longer patriarchs, no longer God speaking directly to them. And there they were bound up in slavery. They were enslaved. And so God sent Moses, his servant, that God spoke to directly, to go down and speak to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. And so Moses went down to Egypt and he led the children of God out of Egypt through the Red Sea, led them through on dry ground. And then 2 months in the wilderness as they made a beeline or a straight line from the Red Sea after they crossed out of Egypt, and they made it right down to what they called the mountain of God. We know it as Mount Sinai. And there for the next 11 months, the people of God camped around the mountain of God. It was on fire on top. There were clouds. There was smoke. There was everything going on. And Moses would go up day by day onto the mountain, and God would speak directly to him, and he would give, and he gave Moses what we understand to be as the law. In fact, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, basically were given to Moses at that time, and they contained the law of God. And the law was important because what was happening was God was bringing those people to himself, and he was making a covenant with them. So now the children of Israel were in covenant with God. And the question is how do we live in covenant with God? Because God said, I'm holy, so you be holy. And so God gave them the law to show them how they were to live life in covenant with him. And in the center of all of that is the Ten Commandments. In fact, the Ten Commandments, or these ten words, are the foundation for all the rest of the law. 3,000 years ago, over 3,000 years ago, the law was given through Moses, and it's existed to this very day. In fact, all of the laws in our land could trace themselves back to the law of God, to the Ten Commandments. We wouldn't necessarily like to admit that, but it's true. But what happens is somewhere along the way, we felt like that maybe we could live without the law. We kind of felt like that maybe we could move away. Why do we need the law anymore? In fact, in the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 14, the Apostle Paul said, he said this, he said, "You are not under law, you are under grace." And it sounds like that the law has been set aside. Now we just come to God one way, and that's through grace. Now watch this. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, "Don't think that I've come to abolish the law. I've come to fulfill the law." So what the Lord Jesus did was he demonstrated that the law of God could be accomplished. He completed it. He fulfilled it completely in his life. And the Lord Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. And he demonstrated how the law of God was maintained. You just live in right relationship with God, and the law actually is completed in that. And so he was asked one time, "What about the law?" He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself." The law is all caught up in this. And you can actually see the Ten Commandments in those two statements. In fact, the scripture goes on to say, the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, he said, "The law was put in charge to lead us to Christ so that we might be," watch this, "justified by faith." So as people of God, we now walk with God by faith. But what the law does is it brings us to the Lord Jesus Christ, where faith is the where faith flows, or where faith is found. And so we are in right relationship with God by grace through faith, and it is the law of God that brings us to that place where we can see it and understand it. So what I'm saying to you this morning, beloved, is the Ten Commandments in particular, these ten words, the law of God is not obsolete. In fact, it is very, very relevant to this day. It is the foundation upon which life and society is built. And what I want to do is I want to show you how that works out, or how that plays out. And so today I just want to show you three things, or mention three things, of how the law of God is relevant to us and necessary to who and what we are today as the people of God, okay? So these 10 words are what we're going to look at. And the first thing I want to show you is these 10 words set the precedent for all relationships. The 10 commandments set the precedent for all relationships. 99% of the problems that we have in life could be solved, and maybe 100%, if we could get our relationships right. And I want you to think through the Ten Commandments and how they set the precedent for relationship. In fact, the Ten Commandments show us what it takes to have right relationships. And what it does is it shows that there are two dimensions to living in relationship in this world. The first dimension is vertical. And so we are to live in right relationship with God. Notice that the first four commandments deal with your relationship with God. You shall have no other gods before me. Don't worship any idols. Don't take the name of God unworthily or in vain. And remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Those four, and notice that those four are articulated in great deal. In other words, the commandment is given, and then it's expounded upon on each one of those. When we get to the last six, basically they're just mentioned. But those first four, he really emphasizes, because your relationship with God is primary. Those four deal with how you relate to the living God of the universe, the one who created you, the one who gave you life, the one who made everything there is to see. You have to relate to him. And if you get your relationship right with God, everything else is going to fall into place. When your relationship with him is out of whack, everything else is going to be out of whack as well. So getting this relationship right is critical. It's first. It's primary. This vertical relationship with God. Because remember, Jesus himself said that your salvation is going to be determined by this relationship. Remember? Jesus said that day's going to come. You're going to stand before me. We're going to separate the sheep from the goats. And we're going to say to those on this side, come on into your reward. And to those on that side, we're going to say, sorry, see you later. And they're going to say, hold on just a minute. We prophesied in your name. We did all these things. And he's going to say, depart from me. Why? I never knew you. That's relationship. Relationship with God is critical. It is primary. If you get this wrong, or if you don't have the right relationship with God, everything else will be skewed. Everything else will fall out of place. So first of all, there's the vertical relationship, and then there are the horizontal relationships. And so notice that the last six commandments deal with your relationships with other people. Starts right there in the home. Honor your father and mother. And then how we deal with each other. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. There is your relationship with your husband or wife. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet. And so it goes right from the home on down through the rest of society, through your business, through your neighbors, everything else, how you relate to other people. So first of all, you relate to God, and when you get this relationship right, then this horizontal relationships begin to flow out of it. Beloved, we are responsible. We are responsible to relate to other people correctly. Don't think that you can just go through life stepping on everybody else or not caring what anybody else says or thinks. Because watch this. When you violate the commandment against another, you're actually violating the commandment of God. So for example, the Bible says, the commandment is, thou shalt not steal. And you might say, well, I've never taken anything from somebody else. Well, you know, there's a malicious sin called gossip. You know what gossip is? Gossip is something that you would say behind the person's back you'd never say to their face. And so if somebody tells you about somebody else, you go talk to that other person, go talk to somebody else rather than that person. What you're doing is gossiping. And what you're doing is you're robbing them or you're stealing their integrity or you're stealing their name. Okay? And so you're besmirching their name. That's robbing them. Now watch this. That's a sin against other people. If you steal something from somebody else, whether it's their name or whatever, you're sinning against them. But watch, it is also a commandment you are sinning against God. So if this relationship or our relationships get messed up this way, what it does is it affects this relationship. And when this relationship is wrong, nothing else can be right. And so that's why it says, get your relationships right first. The commandment lay the foundation for proper relationships. It sets the precedent for the way we relate first to God and then to others. That's the first thing. Second thing is this. These 10 words lay the foundation for all of morality. For all of our morality. Let me just ask you a question. How do you know what's right and how do you know what's wrong? How do you determine that? What is right or what is wrong? What is morality? Or what are ethics? Now, I told a little story in the first service, and nobody got it. I'm hoping that y'all are going to get it. This is a little more sophisticated crowd here, okay? About ethics. What are ethics? Young man asked his dad, Dad, what's ethics? What does it mean to be ethical? And so the dad said, he thought for a minute, and he said, well, son, you know, I've got a little business with Uncle Billy. He said, yeah, that's right. He said, well, if we had a customer come in, and let's say something cost $10, but I charged them $20 for it instead, and I kind of hid that, and I kind of actually stole that $10 from them, so they paid too much. He said, it would be ethical if I would take that $10 that they had paid too much for, and if I shared it with Uncle Billy, that's ethics. I don't. It's not even funny. You know, now that I think, you know, when I first worked on this, I thought, man, this is perfect. This is hilarious. Anyway, see, he's stealing the money from somebody instead of taking it and give it back to the person. Never mind. Okay, so it's not even funny. Somebody got it. Thank you, brother. That's ethics. Well, this is the way it goes. Ethics kind of become what we decide it is. Okay? Or our morality or right and wrong. So what is right for me may not be right for you. and what's right for you may not be right for me. I decide, I determine my ethics, my morality. And don't you try to tell me what is right and wrong, and I won't try to tell you what is right and wrong. I'll live my life my way. You live your life your way. I'll do my thing. You do yours. And so what happens is all of morality and virtue become relative. That is, there are no absolutes. There's no right. There's no wrong. That are always right and always wrong. It may or may not be right depending upon how you look at it or how you feel. But I want you to notice something. These 10 words are commandments. They're commandments. They come from God. They're not suggestions. It's not God just saying, hey, you know, it'd be a good idea if you didn't kill anybody, but you know what? If you want to go ahead and do it, no problem. No. Thou shalt not kill. And the problem we have today is that we've moved away from that. We don't really believe in any absolutes anymore. In fact, one writer said, put it this way. He said, the tragic development of our age is not that people don't follow the moral law. Most don't believe there are moral laws. The attitude seems to be, I can do what I want to do, and who are you to say? Because you can't legislate morality, and don't you try to cram your morality down my throat, and I won't try to cram my morality down yours. But these 10 words come from God Himself. And God says, this is a commandment. And when God says it's right always, and when God says it's wrong, it is always wrong. There are moral absolutes in this universe, beloved, and God has written them into the very moral fabric of our being. And if we violate the moral law, we pay the consequences. And we see that over and over again. It's kind of like the law of gravity. The law of gravity is a physical law. And if you violate the law of gravity, sooner or later you're going to pay the consequences. By the way, here's another story that's it's funny to me, so if you want to laugh, go ahead. Man jumps out of the off the top of the Empire State Building. He's falling. The 75th floor, there's a guy there with an open window. He sees the guy coming down. He says, how's it going? That's not the funny part. Hold on. Patience. He says, how's it going? And as the guy falls by, he says, so far, so good. And it was. I'm struggling here, folks. Help me out. It was so far, so good. But 75 floors later, so far, not so good. Right? Do you see that? Because, see, you can violate the law of gravity for a little while, but sooner or later, because it is a law, it's going to win. And you're going to be crushed by it. In the book of Ezekiel, God told the prophet, the soul that sins, it shall die. And, beloved, that's truth. And it doesn't matter what you do or don't want to call sin, because God is God, He gets to define what sin is. And He has said, the soul that is sin, the soul that sinneth, it will die. And what has happened is as a culture, as a people, we've jumped off the top floor and we're falling. And you know, for a while, everything might seem fine, but sooner or later, you hit the bottom. For example, when I was a kid, back in the olden days, in my first grade class, there was a copy of the Ten Commandments that were posted on the wall. My first grade teacher, not every day, but I remember occasionally or maybe regularly, I can't quite remember that. I do know that we recited the Ten Commandments. This was my school teacher. Do you know that it is illegal today to post the Ten Commandments in the classroom? I'll tell you why. Back in the late 70s, the state of Kentucky, Brother Harold, by the way, the state of Kentucky passed a law, made a statute. The legislature said that the Ten Commandments would be posted in every classroom in the state of Kentucky. And they actually had these things printed up, not using public money. And it said on there that these are the foundation of the laws of the land. So there was a secular purpose. They said, we're not trying to promote religion. We just want our school children to understand that the foundation of law and morality are the Ten Commandments. Okay? And so they So they put them in every schoolroom. Well, of course, there's some atheists out there that didn't like that. They didn't believe in God and didn't believe that Ten Commandments ought to be posted anywhere, so they filed suit. The Supreme Court of Kentucky upheld the statute and said it's all right to hold the have the Ten Commandments in the classroom because they're doing it for a secular reason to show where the foundation of laws are. They're not trying to promote religion. On November 17, 1980, the Supreme Court of the United States, that is the top law of the land, struck down the statute. And this was their reasoning behind it. In fact, I want to quote from what they said. This is what they said. The Ten Commandments are plainly religious and may induce children to read, meditate upon, perhaps to venerate and obey them. Okay? I mean, God forbid that a child might read the Ten Commandments and obey them. Right? And so now the Ten Commandments are so dangerous that we can't post them in the classroom because a child might read them, heaven help us if he would, might venerate them, might even obey them. So look at what we've done in our culture. Remember, here we go. We're going down. So what happens is we've taken the law, thou shalt not commit adultery, and we've crossed out, thou shalt not. And instead of that, in our schools, we hand out birth control, condoms, morning after pills, and we said, look, you better learn how to use these things because everybody's going to do it. Do what feels good, but protect yourself. Those are the things that we've done in our nation. And then we step back and we wonder why in the world sexually transmitted diseases are rampant, why teen pregnancy, why the abortion rate continues to go up. We wonder why there's so much depression among young people and why the suicide rate continues to climb. And all the while, see, what we've done is we've said, God, we don't care what you have to say. We're going to do what you want. And what we do is we blame all these problems on lack of education. If we would just educate them a little bit more and teach them how to do it or whatever, then maybe they won't be so depressed when they do the things that God said don't do. You understand? Or we've taken the commandment, thou shalt not kill. And we've crossed out, thou shalt not. And we've cheapened human life in this world today. We've said that there's no difference between a human life and a flower or a tree or a spotted owl or a cat or a dog or anything else like that. And then, after doing that, we stand back and wonder how in the world a young man could take an assault rifle into a school in Connecticut and kill kindergartners. And we wring our hands and go, oh, my goodness, what in the world is going on here? And so what do? We blame guns. It's guns' fault, right? Did it just amaze you how immediately after that thing happened last year that, you know, it was like, well, we've got to regulate guns because that's the problem. Because, you see, if we admitted what the real problem was, the real problem is we've gone against God. We've turned away from God, and we don't have a foundation anymore. And without a foundation, everything begins to fall. So we've got to blame something else. Blame guns. Blame religious bigots like me who stand up here and say there is a God, there is a right and wrong, and when you violate it, you're going to fall. I mean, that's what it is. You understand? And so that's why I say that these 10 words, the 10 commandments, are the foundation of moral, of our moral fabric, of our moral being. And if we don't get back to them, then we're going to continue just to crumble and to fall as a society. Last thing, and this may very well be the most important one. These 10 words, the 10 commandments, reveal our true nature and our greatest need. Our true nature and our greatest need. Beloved, when we look at the Ten Commandments, when we look at these 10 words, we see what God expects us to be. He is holy, and He is righteous, and He expects us to be holy and righteous. He said, I am holy, you be holy too. And so then we look at the commandment. This is what God expects. And we find out that we can't measure up. We can't live up. In fact, looking at the commandments, we see exactly how far we fall short of what God expects. See, if there were no commandments, if there were no law, then we could do whatever and we could just say, well, God, you know, you've got to accept it because this is what I am. This is the way I was created. I was born this way. This is just the way I live my life. It ought to be good enough for you. But God says, no, that's not how you were born. That's not how you were created. You were created in the image of God, and you can be holy and righteous, and you must be. And so we look at the commandment, and we see how far we've fallen. We come to understand that the truth of Scripture is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I know what I am now. I'm a sinner. That there is a bent or there is an intent in my heart and life. And I'm talking about myself, but I'm talking about everybody else. We're sinners. And so our greatest need is salvation. We are separated from God by our sin because the wages of sin is death. And there's nothing we can do about it. So we are all sinners and we are all on our way to hell. And if I'm going to be righteous, if I'm going to be holy, then something's got to happen to me because I can't do it on my own. And by the way, The commandments show me that I don't keep the commandments, not because they're too hard, but because of my heart. My heart is rotten to the core. And so something's got to take place. In fact, if I'm going to be right with God, He's going to have to do something in me or for me or through me. And beloved, here comes the gospel. Because the Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish because of sin, but have everlasting life. The Bible says that he who knew no sin, that is Christ Jesus, He became sin for us so that we might become, watch this, the righteousness of God. So what we weren't and what we couldn't be, God is, and He does in us through Christ Jesus. And when we come to Him by faith and we receive Christ Jesus, what happens is He transforms this old sinful heart and life and makes it new. And then He makes it possible for me to be what God has called me to be. Now I'm in right relationship with God. And in right relationship with God through Christ, now I can be in right relationship with everybody else. So here's the greatest need. I'm a sinner. Here's the greatest provision, the Lord Jesus. And if you'll just come to Him by faith, He will make you right in the sight of God. So, just wrapping this thing up. Back to Robert Fulghum. In the conclusion of his little booklet, Everything I Ever Needed to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten, he wrote this. He said, think what a better world it would be if we all, the whole world, had cookies and milk about 3 o'clock every afternoon and then lay down with our blankies for a nap. Or if all the governments had a basic policy to always put things back where they found them and to clean up their own mess. And it's still true, he said. No matter how old you are, when you go out into the world, it's best to hold hands and stick together. There are some foundational truths, and God bless kindergarten teachers who lay them out there for us and teach us how to begin to learn and how to build on our life. But beloved, if we never had kindergarten, we've still got God. And God has laid a foundation for us. And they're 10 words. And over the next couple of weeks and months, we're going to be looking at each one of them, and we're going to see how they apply specifically to our lives. But beloved, today I want to ask you just to consider your own life and our own world and how we have deviated or parted from the things of God and the ways of God. And there really is only one, thing to do, and that is to repent. And so, there's no way we can stand here today and say, well, God, we've got it all right, because we live in a world that is all wrong, and we're part of it. And so, first of all, we've got to get this right. I've got to get myself right with God. And then I can be the kind of human being and person in this world that might can make a difference and help turn things around in my nation. Do you understand? We're falling. Woo! We're on our way down. What's going to save us? Only Jesus. Only Jesus. So, beloved, this morning, I want to invite you to give your heart to Christ. There may be some of us here that have never trusted Jesus as our Savior. You're a sinner. Maybe you didn't even know it. But God's pronouncement upon you is you're a sinner and you need a Savior. And the good news today is that God has provided this Savior in Jesus. And today, if you've never trusted Christ, I'm going to invite you to come to Him and give Him your life. And then for those of you who are here and would say, well, you know what, I've got it right with God. I'm living in relationship with Him and everything is right in my other relationships. Well, then let's pray for our nation. Let's today come together as the people of God and confess that we've gone away from our foundation and ask God to help us to come back. And maybe in your own personal life, there's some relationships that need to be worked out. In fact, might be right here in this church. You might have to get up where you are and go talk to somebody and say, hey, I've been wrong. I've done this. Will you forgive me? I'm sorry. Or maybe you've got to say that to God. However that comes out today, beloved, right now as we turn to Him. Father God, Lord, I thank You for the foundation that is laid in Christ, a foundation that can't be broken. And Lord God, I just ask that You would help us today as a people, individuals, and then as a church, as a nation, God, to turn to You. Father, I pray for the one or two or several here today that would have to say, you know what? I've never trusted Christ. My relationship with God can't be right because I'm not with Jesus. But today, Lord, I want to come. Lord, You've said in Your Word, today is the day of salvation. And so, Lord, I just ask that as You burn these words into our heart, Lord, that You would turn us, each one of us, to You. And that those of us who need to come and be saved, Lord, might do that. Father, for those of us who need to be made right with You or with others, Lord, that as You work in our hearts, we're saved, but we just haven't been living with You. Or we haven't been living right with others. God, I just pray that You would fix us today and make our relationships right. And Father God, then just as a people, Lord, we pray for our nation because it sure seems like we're in free fall today. And this happens and that happens and we just stand back aghast and wring our hands and go, what in the world is coming next? Well, Lord Jesus, You come. In fact, we just ask You come in power today and You transform our lives and our minds and this nation. And God, we ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's